This podcast is part of the Power of Podcasting Network. Find it at powerofpodcasting.com.
Welcome to the Podcast Rodeo Show. I'm your host, Dave Jackson, from the School of Podcasting.com. This is where we grab a random podcast and see how long we can hang on. Today, we're listening to Humane. Now, I have to say it Humane because it's H-U-M-A, capital A, capital I-N. So it's a show about artificial intelligence. In fact, our good friends at Apple Podcasts say David Yakubovich explores AI for consumers through fireside conversations with industry thought leaders on Humane. From chief data scientists and AI advisors to leaders who advance from AI for all, the Humane podcast is the channel to release new AI products, to learn about industry trends, and to bridge the gap between humans and machines in the fourth industrial revolution. The website is humane.splashthat.com, and there's no really reason going to that because there's almost nothing there besides a sign-up button. And so they're just looking, they're just gathering email addresses at it. There's a whole lot. He gave me a link to just Apple, which eventually took me somehow to Simplecast. There's no way to subscribe to this show. You really should sign up for the podcast review show because there's a whole lot going on your website that I'm like, no, I haven't even listened to it yet. And we will get to that right after this.
The following is an opinion, and only an opinion. These are actual, honest first impressions. If you don't like the opinion, feel free to never listen again.
All right, and this episode is called What You Can Do to Reduce the Dangers of AI with Alberto Todeschini. And it goes a little something like this. The voice over starts.
The dangers of AI are very real. From self-generated essays and adversarial attacks on self-driving cars, to closed-loop algorithms where companies don't want you to know how their systems work, Alberto Todeschini from Berkeley shares the truths behind much of today's AI research.
Nice! A little scare tactics in there as well.
This is Humane, a weekly podcast focused on bridging the gap between humans and machines in this age of acceleration. My name is David Yakubovich, and on this podcast, I interview experts in sociology, psychology, artificial intelligence, researchers on consumer-facing products, and consumer-facing companies to help audiences better understand AI and its many capabilities. If you like the show, remember to subscribe and leave a review.
This guy really wants reviews. I'll talk more about that. All right. And here we go with the interview.
Welcome back to the Humane Podcast. Today I have with us from Berkeley and the iSchool in California, Alberto Todeschini. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much. We were just chatting before we started the episode that both of us travel a lot. I recently got back from Monterrey, Mexico, doing a lot of innovation in the data science industry. I know you've had a lot of opportunity to work in data science and AI, and you're doing a lot of cool things right now. What's new in your world right now?
Thank you. So I just come back from over a year, mostly in Asia, between Hong Kong and Singapore. And it's been very, very interesting to see different approaches to data science and AI and different products. And then coming back to, you know, the outskirts of Silicon Valley. So that's been very fascinating. And the cultural differences and cultural attitudes about privacy and concerns that are, you know, exist in some locations, but not so much in others. So it's been really fascinating, and I think it's been quite enriching.
Now, privacy, if we go into that topic, that's a fun one to talk about, because I know in the United States, privacy is quite different than it is in Europe, than it is in Asia, or at least that's how it seems. What was your experience seeing privacy in both Hong Kong and Singapore?
Well, I also happen to be a European, so I, you know, have a foot in Europe, one in the US and one in Asia. And Yeah, it's just very interesting. So it's a bit like the difference in attitudes to freedom of speech in Europe and in the US, where freedom of speech is protected a lot more in the US, whereas in Europe, for historical reasons, partially cultural heritage of, World War II and propaganda, we value freedom of speech, I'm tempted to say less, but let's say differently. And similarly, it's something similar with privacy. So I see a lot of cultural differences, and I see a lot of us failing to understand what is fine for someone else may not be fine for us, and contrary-wise. So I see a lot of people judging with our, and I say, well, your average U.S. expectations about privacy, judging how privacy is understood and taken care of in some Asian countries, for instance, right? But we are using the wrong metrics. We are looking at our standards and judging with our standards, right? And you travel and you talk to people, and sometimes they say, well, sure, with these AI algorithms, you'll learn ever more about us. You can learn about psychological makeups of people. You know what their mood is and things like that. But they say, hey, we live, for instance, in Hong Kong or a place like this. They may say, well, we live in a very crowded place and we need to make sure that it's nice and orderly, and it's perfectly fine if certain data is checked by the government or whatnot, because it's a net positive, right? So it's been enlightening. And I would suggest anyone who wants to take privacy seriously on a global level, really to talk to people from around the world and actually understand them, understand that the standards may be different, understand that, say, population density, economic growth, and other factors are very important. So listen, read, and listen.
That's so interesting, right? Because, here as someone who's originally born in Florida and I've lived in New York for much of my adult life, I see a certain way of being and a certain attitude that Americans have to culture and to driving business decisions. But you mentioned very valid points that could be so different to those who are Singapore nationals, right? Those who are Hong Kong nationals, or are they from Shenzhen working in Hong Kong and vice versa? So there's so much diversity there. And I think that diversity is fascinating because when we talk, technically speaking, about translating results for business, and, here we are in 2019.
Is there a question here somewhere?
AI has taken the world by storm, and especially in business, it's but everyone's trying to see how do you merge this into your business model, into products. And I think one of the challenges about AI being merged into business is the interpretability, right? We're now seeing companies are attempting to interpret, they're attempting to better understand results, especially if you don't have full time data scientists on your team. But what's your take on interpretability for companies?
Thank you. Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, I'm on the fence on this one. I really liked the intro. You had that thing that came out of the gate and you're like, we're all going to die, because of robots, kind of scare tactic thing. I thought that was cool. And then the actual part where you're saying, welcome to the show, where we bridge the gap between, I thought that was really good. I thought the music was a little loud during that. I really had to kind of like focus to make sure I could hear what you were doing. The first question of what's new? Hey, what's new? What have you been up to? It could have gone horribly wrong. He kind of explained, I've been traveling all over. And I don't know, to me, it just seemed kind of a very open-ended, not really like what is this guy famous for? AI stuff. Like, let's talk AI, not like, so what you been up to there, buddy? So when the next question was, hey, let's talk about privacy, I'm like, that would have been my first question. Like, let's get right to it. I always say, I listen to every interview I do, and I listen to the question, and I listen to the answer and go, is my audience going to get something out of that? Is that something my audience is looking to do? And the one question I kind of laughed, you said, that's a good question. There was a ton of setup on that. It was like, oh, because of this, and the general was like, is there a question in here somewhere? To the point where I'm almost wondering if, I don't know, that just to me, it slowed the pace down of, remember, an interview is about your guest, not like, because the first part of that was me too. Boy, that's so interesting. The interview is about your guest. Now, something to keep in mind here, I actually have a conversation with a lot of the guests on my show. I cut me out though, people aren't in to hear me. I brought so-and-so on to talk to them. So I will do that kind of conversational tone to make things nice and relaxed so they're free to open up. But I actually cut myself out of it because, again, a lot of times it's just me going, oh, yeah, that's really cool. I totally agree with what you're saying. Well, that doesn't give any value to my audience. They don't need to know that I agree. Because if my audience is smart, they know that what you just said is smart. So the audio was about a 6. And I don't know if you're using one mic. It wasn't super boomy, but it also sounded like maybe you'd try to remove a little bit of noise and went just a little, I mean, just a hair too far. I'm kind of being picky on that because overall the audio was fine. But for me, you got to remember that you have to hook the audience in quickly, especially now with Google Podcast, now indexing podcasts. You got to get to the meat and potatoes super quick. So whatever this guy's an expert in, make that first question, let him strut his stuff and go that route. So like I say, it wasn't enough to get the buzzer. It wasn't enough to get the horse whinny. It was kind of like, meh, you know what, for a show that's fairly new, not a ton of episodes here, you're definitely headed in the right direction. Now, if you would like your show right here on the Podcast Rodeo Show, simply go out to podcastrodeoshow.com, click on the Fiverr button. There is no upsell. And Dave really just wanted me to review a show in Apple Podcast. And I'm glad to see the show wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, because usually if you're paying somebody to review on iTunes, because for the record, everyone, reviews do nothing, nothing, as in NOTHING, nothing for you in Apple Podcasts. All they do is their social proof. So I was kind of like, oh no, here's somebody who's drank the rankings Kool-Aid. So I will go over and I will leave him a review and say, eh, it was all right for a new show. And I will say this, your description really, I thought you had a really good description of like here, AI for consumers. I was like, now we're talking, because we're going to take somebody who's a big shot smarty pants who understands all the technology, and they're going to explain to me how a robot's going to come and kill me someday. I was like, I am into that. If you can tell me how people are invading my privacy and things like that, I am down for that. But this didn't really give me much of that. Either I don't know if you were talking over my head or just taking a while to get to whatever point you were getting to. So thanks so much for listening. That's going to do it for this episode number 278. If you like to chime in with your opinion, just go to podcastrodeoshow.com/278. And of course, while you're out there, sign up and get your show right here. And if you need a full review, check out podcastreviewshow.com. That's a show I do with my buddy Eric K. Johnson, and we go over your entire show. And Dave Yakubovich, you could use that, because you have a little branding issues going on here and a few other things that we just don't talk about on this show. So thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com, reminding you that you can't read the label from the inside of the bottle.